Your immediate source for local news is the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR, the talk of the Outer Banks.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
News team, assemble!
Let's go to Sam Walker, right? He is our guy, our go-to guy in the Outer Banks.
The sea was angry that day, my friends, like an old man trying to send back soup in a deli.
Now here's Les Nessman and the news.
All right, good morning. It's OBX today. And we go to the WZPR Breaking News Hotline. And joining us now, live from Roanoke Island and Island Farm, it's Ann Daisy. She's the manager of Island Farm. Good morning, Ann. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me this morning, Sam.
Oh, pleasure to have you on board because you guys have got a great thing over there. It is such a cool site and such a great experience that people would not expect to find here on the Outer Banks. And not just folks who visit, but folks who live here realize, yes, there actually are farmers or were farmers here in Dare County. Tell us more about what Island Farm is all about.
Yeah, Sam, it is truly a treasure for us locals as well as all of our visitors that come to the Outer Banks in Roanoke Island. Island Farm is a living history site showcasing what life was like for an Outer Banker in the mid-1800s. And you are correct that they farmed and they fished, and they did it for survival as subsistence farmers. So everything they grew was for their family, was for their livestock. And, of course, they fished because, of course, the bounty of the sea is right there at their back door. And at Island Farm, you get an opportunity to tour the original homestead that was built by Adam Doe Etheridge in the mid-1800s. It's been fully restored, one of the oldest buildings here on Roanoke Island, and then replica outstructures and outbuildings that were what would have been on their farm. And we are actually not only a living history site, we have livestock, just like the Etheridge family did when they farmed there. And we are farming to this day and doing traditional agriculture methods, growing food and bringing it to the community as well. So there's so much to offer. You just really have to come out to check it out because it truly is a special place. And does remind you of what life was like prior to shopping malls and gas stations and all sorts of things that have changed since then. Truly a magical place when you get out to the farm, for sure.
As some of the historical nature of this site, I mean, it's one of only two sites that had windmills. And there's a story behind the windmill itself, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we do regular programming with our windmill at the farm where we actually have the ability to turn it on now. So back in the 1970s, a woman that worked for the National Park Service was very passionate about that history of windmills, or what we call post mills, that dotted the whole eastern seaboard of North Carolina. And we had quite a few here in this region of the Outer Banks. And on Roanoke Island, believed to have at least three, one standing very close to the current and former Island Farm location, one where the now McDonald's is located, and then a third on the straightway through Wanchese. And so these windmills were used to grind corn for cornmeal, grind grain, and they, just like today's modern windmills, they use the power of wind to do the work for them. And so that woman, Luann, at the National Park Service in the 70s commissioned a carpenter and had a, with traditional woodworking skills, had that replica windmill built. And it actually used to live, if some of us can remember, over in Nag's Head at the restaurant called Windmill Point, which I believe is now county property. But the Outer Banks conservationists who own and operate Island Farm, as well as the Currituck Beach Lighthouse, we're a nonprofit. Our mission is to, give a sense of place, history, conservation, preservation. They found that windmill to be a valuable historical piece of information, and they worked to get that windmill with some tourism money moved over to Island Farm and fully functioning, and we get to turn it on, and truly a treasure or a treat when you're driving down the north end of Manio, and you get to see that windmill spin. So, and we do talk, do programs about it on a regular basis. We get to turn it on and teach people about what these windmills were used for. And full circle, Outer Banks is back to windmills again. So the saying of history repeating itself can easily be used here at this location.
Ann Dorsey, who is manager of Island Farm here on OBX today on News Talk 92.3 WZPR. You've got programs coming up. Let's get into what you've done, though, before when coronavirus hit and all the stuff that shut down. You guys were able to shift in some ways, and granted, you weren't hosting folks at the beginning of the pandemic, just like everywhere else, but you were able to shift a lot of your programming and do some things online that people could actually use while dealing with quarantining, dealing with staying at home.
That's right. So there were a couple of opportunities that we presented to the community and everyone out there. Was what we first started with was we are growing, which we've just harvested, our Hayman sweet potato, which was traditionally first grown here on the Outer Banks, brought back from Barbados, and we donated and gave the community free sweet potato slips and did videos and posted those on Facebook so they people at home could grow their sweet potato along with us at the farm, which we're about to remind them that it's time for harvest here shortly. We've done some live video tours, worked with the Coastal Environmental Educator Network here locally, along with Jeanette's Pier, Nag's Head Woods, the aquarium, where we've provided virtual tours and some education for not only local school groups but across the state. We've had visitors and students participate on those virtual tours. About here this Saturday, I'm actually going to be presenting a virtual tour to a Girl Scout troop to teach them a little bit more about what happens at Island Farm, and you know, spreading that message the best we can to keep people informed and excited about this unique treasure that we have here on Roanoke Island.
Now, moving forward, you've got stuff coming up, but first, what's some of the different changes that you've had to make to how you operate at Island Farm?
Sure. So we closely follow the governor's mandated executive orders. And I don't know if you've heard the news, but my middle name is Safety.
I did not know that.
I'm a former park ranger. And I really care about our staff and our visitor safety. So that's my top priority. So we follow those mandates very closely. We had the luxury of opening this summer with limited capacity, you know, following all those guidelines. And because we are an outdoor space and an actual, you know, working farm, we were able to host visitors. And, you know, we don't get giant crowds like you may see in other locations. Maybe one day that will change when COVID's over. And so we had, you know, stringent cleaning protocol, hand sanitizer available. We limited how many visitors could be in a structure at the same time. And if you've been to Island Farm, you know, a cookhouse is not very large. We have a smokehouse. And so keeping, you know, limited people in the structures and just really being in that outdoor space. We're almost 5 acres, so there's a lot of open space to roam, which made that a lot easier for us to be able to manage and maintain all those social distancing and executive order requirements.
Ann Dorsey, manager of Island Farm here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR and OBX today. So let's get into what you got coming up, because you got a busy October and November and even December already planned out with some of the stuff that folks are going to be able to take part in.
We sure do. You usually think that the summer season is the busiest around the Outer Banks for visitation tour sites. Well, the fall is truly the best time to be at Island Farm. So not only are we working on harvesting certain crops at this time, but we're getting prepared to plant our fall crops. We have what everybody's been waiting for is our annual pumpkin patch event, which will be held every Saturday for the month of October. We're going to be open 10 to 4. Admission will be $8 a person. Children 5 and under free. We have had to make some slight adjustments for this event because of COVID and the executive order requirements. And again, it's outdoor space. We have made sure that all of the activities that will be happening at the farm have been spaced out. We'll have our normal pumpkin patch that we've moved to a bigger, more open location, a straw bale maze for the kids to explore, and we're going to have a lot of volunteers and staff at support at all of these locations so that we can make sure to maintain the social distance, keeping numbers low in certain areas. And again, I repeat, we're outdoors and it's, you know, almost 5 acres, so we have a lot of space. We won't be able to do the hay rides, though. Those were not allowed in the governor's orders. But we're going to have some really unique craft-making opportunities where we're going to make candles like they traditionally did in the 1800s, get to do some nature weaving, which is how they made all of their clothing and blankets on looms and weaving. So we'll learn how to do that, get some live demonstrations of how they would make their own apple cider with an apple press. And, of course, we've got all the livestock there at the farm to visit with. And some photo opportunities with our historic tractor and really fun time in the great outdoors to be safe for everyone. We're looking forward to that. And then bringing it back this year, the first weekend in November, just after Halloween, is going to be our Draped in Black program, which has been very popular amongst the locals, which a couple evenings that weekend we will host visitors to see what it was like for mourning a past family member. So it's at nighttime. We have lanterns. It's really interesting. You get to tour the Etheridge family graveyard on site. So great opportunity to see the farm from a different perspective instead of during the daytime, and kind of has a little spook factor to it as well, which I think everyone, especially myself, has an enjoyment for this time of year. And then for December, we're still working through some final details. We typically close after Thanksgiving. We'll have our Garden to Hearth program the day after Thanksgiving. We'll be open. And then Christmas, we're getting some special event programs set up where we'll be open for, you know, not our regular hours, but some special times. And, of course, we'll have that listed on our website, social media, Facebook, Instagram, all those things. You can follow us for Island Farm and to keep updated on all the fun things going on at the farm.
Got a couple of things coming up here real soon. One that really does apply to current times, I think. We go back 102 years to what it was like to be here during the influenza pandemic of 1918.
Yes. We staff here with Outer Banks Conservationists and Island Farm have done some extensive research on the Spanish flu in the 1900s here on the Outer Banks. Very interesting parallels to what we are currently experiencing with COVID at these times. The same issues with masks. You know, they had a little bit more wives' tales about, you know, hanging garlic around their neck and putting sulfur in their shoes to try to ward off the flu pandemic. Even struggles with getting information out to the people and keeping kids safe at school. So we have a lot of great history and details that we present every Thursday at 2:00. We host a program at the farm, free with admission, where we share some of those similarities that happened with the Spanish flu here on the Outer Banks and in the region. And I use that statement, history repeats itself. It's amazing. But some really unique newsprint and articles and photographs that we show during the program. Masks were made out of gauze, and they had, you know, were forming groups for anti-mask wears, and just so similar to, you know, what's going on today. And, you know, quite shocking that we're repeating itself a little bit. But, yeah, that will be every Thursday at 2:00. And, again, it's free with admission to the farm. Yeah.
Ann Daisy is manager of Island Farm, our guest here on OBX today on News Talk 92.3 WZPR. And, of course, your relationship tied directly with the Currituck Beach Lighthouse through the Outer Banks Conservationists. But you also have a relationship with the Koala Wild Horse Fund that you're able to tap into, I do believe. Is that right, with having a banker pony coming? Is that correct?
That's right. We all the livestock we keep at the farm were the same type of animals and livestock that the Etheridge family had. And everyone had banker ponies back in the 1800s, and we have two luckily, we have two living with us at Island Farm, Rainbow and Grace. They are from the Corolla Wild herd and were adopted about 10 years ago. And we, this summer, have been having our Meet the Banker Pony program where every Tuesday and Thursday, those ponies come across the main road from our pasture across the street and get to meet and greet with our visitors. I haven't been around horses much in my life. I'm very familiar with the Corolla Wild horses, having helped with natural resource management and previous employment. But being around them on a daily basis and just how different they are from a normal horse. Their size is different. They, you know, behave a little bit differently. But it's really amazing just to be able to go up and, you know, rub them on the hump or the nose and be able to say, hi, you're a Spanish Mustang descendant, and they live here at the farm. So it's really great to have them participate in all the activities that are going on at the farm. And the Outer Banks Conservationists were a big part of starting the Corolla Wild Horse Fund up in Corolla back in the day. And so, yeah, full circle. We all tie together with the lighthouse and that idea of preservation of history and conservation, and Outer Banks Conservationists have been a great leader in that here in the area for these important historic resources. So, and you get to meet a pony. You can't really say that when you go up into the four-wheel drive area because you're supposed to keep your distance.
That's
but,
right.
We take care of these horses. They are trained. We have them roped and, you know, make sure safety's top-notch when we have our visitors visiting with them. And, you know, Gracie, she's like a big doggie sometimes. they're really, really friendly animals. We enjoy having them at the farm.
All right, Ann Daisy from Island Farm. How can folks get details and all your hours and admission prices and things like that?
Sure. Well, we have our website, obcinc.org, where you can check out all of our events and information there, as well as info about the Currituck Beach Lighthouse. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, where we keep all of our event information fresh and updated. And, of course, feel free to give us a call, 473-6500 at the farm, and email us. We love to hear from our visitors. If you have questions, message us on Facebook. And we are going to be, for the month of October, opened Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $8 a person. Children 5 and under are free. And we look forward to celebrating this beautiful fall weather with everybody in a safe and socially distanced manner out on the farm. So we look forward to having everybody.
Ann Daisy, manager of the Island Farm on Roanoke Island here on News Talk 92.3. And we will have you back very soon. Great to talk with you. I can get probably an hour out of you.
I know. There's so much to share.
Which is so cool. That's what's great about that site. So thanks a lot for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. Have a great day.